Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Head over there this Friday. They have an all new music happy hour going on, new records coming in, and then they'll be playing, spinning live vinyl, and they'll have free four hands beer and 10% off any purchase. So, pretty sweet deal. Music, beer, discounts. And then follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up with them. And, of course, musicrecordshop.com for full listings. And if you also, hey, if you're listening to a local band or a local artist, feel free to stop by over there and talk to them about getting some of your records on the shelf. They have a wonderful local selection, and it's always growing. So it's because they want more and more people. They're big components of supporting local. So get out there, get your records on the shelves, go buy some local music, and support local business. So, yeah, musicrecordshop.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up? This is Davey from This Is Our Dance. You're watching Rock Paper Podcast. Peace.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Davey of This Is Our Dance. Welcome to the show, man.
What's up?
You know, so I would say a lot on the, you know, lately. I've been going out a lot of those. So when I started the show, I had all these friends in music.
Mm-hmm.
I had plenty of guests to start talking with and things, but it kind of got to a point where I wanted to branch out and meet more people, and networked out farther and farther, and it's gotten to the point now where a lot of these episodes that are coming out recently are people I've been meeting for the very first time on the mic, so
yeah.
Like today. So
yes.
we spoke briefly. I met you at Pops a few weeks back.
Yep.
And I set up, we had like I don't know what they properly called it, but it was like a mixer kind of a thing. We had some live music. We had, you know, there was some tables set up trying to get people to kind of have some fun on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and it was get to a good time.
Meet some people. And so I threw my table out there, my banner and stuff, try to spread the word and meet some people and hopefully get some interviews booked. And this was actually the only interview that came out of that day, so
all right, that's good enough.
Yeah, but no, I'm glad you reached out. You said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to hang out," and I'm like, "Cool, let's do it." So, so here I am, man.
Right on.
Got a couple big shows coming up, man. You'll be at Cicero's in the Del Mar Loop on April 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that. So that's everybody's doing cover sets, right?
Yeah, that's the first cover show I've ever been a part of, and it's honestly something I don't really know if I'm going to be able to do, trying to remember lyrics from another band.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's going to be, I'm going to be doing Owl City. There's going to be cover of Coheed and Cambria and Senses Fail and Foo Fighters, and so it's going to be like a diverse show and everything.
Yeah,
so it should be cool.
How'd you did you pick Owl City? Was that or was it like they had a list of some people they wanted? Or
no, I picked it because I was just thinking about with my style how I, you know, who I could do with and make it, you know, realistic. And
yeah.
So I did Owl City. I was thinking I could do the Ready Set or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Owl City's just something that I like more than all that.
Yeah. So. I'm not too too familiar. I know a little bit. I know, like,
the big hit.
Fireflies.
Yeah, Fireflies. Yeah, yeah, I know that one from the radio. But yeah, that should be fun, man. So it was just purely sound wise, you thought you could pull it off, or
I'm a big fan of them, sure, too. Yeah. So yeah, and it's like I know all the words to their song, but doing it all by myself without singing along is something completely different.
Sure.
So it's kind of nerve wracking, I guess.
Yeah. It's exciting to also, I think, like in anything, but to, I mean, even for me with this show, took a chance. I mean, I don't have any radio experience or anything like that. But it's exciting to sort of take those risks and, you know, push yourself to try something different. So
yeah, for sure.
Doing a cover set of somebody else's material and things is, you know, for you, like, that's, like I said, it's cool. So
yeah,
taking those chances to get out there and see how it goes.
Yeah, I always try to play any show I get offered, whether it's one person or a million people. I'll play for anybody. If I can get one person to like my music, then I'll be there, because that's how you get your fan base.
Yeah.
In my opinion. A lot of people like to sit on it and be like, oh, well, every 4 months you can play a show in this area. I'm like, well, I'll play every week if there's a new person there.
Sure.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it's got me pretty far so far. So.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. I had the opportunity to sit with Radio Rich Dalton a while back, and for me, was just an incredible experience. The guy's worked at KSH and K Hits for like 40 something years, and just has met like all these people and has stories for days and things. But why I bring that up though is he was telling me, like, when he was on the radio, he would like to you know, start playing like B-sides. You know, everybody knew like Stairway to Heaven and all these things, but he wanted to play some deeper cuts. But for him, the biggest joy out of doing all that was when people would hear a band for the first time or hear a song for the first time, and then they would call up and like, "Whoa, who was that?" You know, and knowing that you made a difference, like, and for that one person, like that, you know, that song or that band or whatever it might have been, you know, struck a chord with them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I agree, man. If you can go make one fan, you know, whatever it takes. But, like, I think that's cool. So,
yeah.
That's going on April 22nd. But we got other, so I think, like, Forgetting January, aren't they? Or is it Inner Outlines? I think they're doing a set over there.
Yeah, I don't know if they're all on the set. I think there's different people from different bands, like, all scattered in there.
Yeah, I just hung out with those guys a little while back, from Inner Outlines.
Right on, yeah, they're cool. Andrew is the one I know more than any of the other guys, but they all seem cool. But
yeah, so some buddies are going to be over there. It's going to be that'll be a fun evening. So check it out on. I'm sure there's I know there's an event on Facebook and stuff. And so feel free to RSVP for that and come on out. You also have another show. This is one I'm real excited about. Is Floor Fest, May 7th in Afton, Missouri.
Yep.
And we got Tear Out the Heart, Inimical Drive, Former Me, and I wrote down, but just a lot of really great bands. And then, like I said, and you're right there with them, man. This is that's a pretty big deal. It's gonna be a fun afternoon.
Yeah,
or evening.
Yeah, it should be cool.
How'd you you said something earlier about Tyler, I guess. I mean, I think he's booked a lot of this, right?
Yeah, he's the one that put this together. Yeah. Tyler did, yeah. So it's a Floor Fest, which is no stages or anything, right up in people's face, like barbecue and all this other stuff. It's going to be like just a hangout with good music playing.
Yeah. It's like a, what's it's the, like a VFW, is that right?
Yeah, yes it is.
Yeah. Space Train is also there. Make Room, Monster Eats Manhattan, Wide Awake, Strikes Back, and This Is Me Breathing. And there's supposed to be more to be announced, so.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to be announced, but that's what it is so far. That's a lot of bands already, yeah, so we'll see.
Some serious players in that group, man. That's
yeah.
Yeah, I believe tickets are $13, and or VIP package is also available.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
I think it's $35, $40. I think it's $35. You get a shirt and meet and greets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people hating on that, so I just wanted to bring their name up real quick. Well, not their name, but, yeah, people are talking that it's a bad idea to have meet and greets with people for more money.
Oh.
They're getting on our event page and talking all bad about us all. Yeah. And so those people are ridiculous, just so if anybody hears anything about that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess there's both sides of it. But, yeah, if it's not for you, just don't
do it. Shut up. And don't put nothing. Yeah. You know, not everything. You don't have to like any of us.
Sure.
But don't get on our page and put something about it. It's like, okay, write to your little friends or your girlfriend if you have one, if you've ever had one. And
that's kind of the thing with social media today, that we kind of have that, we live in that time where it allows everybody to have an opinion and everybody feels they need to express it. So
and the younger people are worse than the older people because they are just they're growing up in that.
Right.
I think that's how life is. So
sure.
That's cute.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Either way, it's going to be a good party, man. It's
oh yeah. So the haters can go away and everybody else can come hang out.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of people and like I said, barbecue and good bands and
yeah. So is that, will you be, you said when you play live, like, a lot of times you bring a guitar player with you, is that right?
No, I play with my laptop.
Okay, your laptop.
So. Yeah, people are like, what style are you? And I'm like, I don't know what style I am, so I call it laptop pop.
Yeah.
So I pre-record my music either with a musician or however I do it, and then I put it on my laptop, bring it to the show, and play it like a rap concert, but with my music, which isn't rap music, so.
Right, and then you sang over the...
sing over my pre-recorded beats and music, and I've worked with some good musicians to get some of my music, like, I don't know if anybody, if you've heard of So They Say in St. Louis, they were signed to Fearless Records. Dave from that band helped me out with my first CD and a lot of my music and pre-recorded a lot of stuff with me, so.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, people just helped me out. Now I got an acoustic thing going with an acoustic player, so that should be coming out soon, so.
All right, so you guys are working on an album of that as well?
Yeah, just me and him, but it's still going to be This Is Our Dance. Yeah. Just, he's going to come in and help me out with that.
Nice. So, yeah.
Should be cool.
So that the first album is available online now?
Well, yeah, you can get it on Reverb Nation is where I got it. Okay. You can just download the whole thing for free. And I'm thinking about putting it on a CD sometime in the future, like full length, just putting that on. Different songs on there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of working on that right now myself. I don't know if you're familiar, but the Point Essentials, you remember those at all?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Sure, I was a big fan of those, and I I always had these ideas, like, you know, it's totally ripping off that idea, you know, a lot of people have done it. It's not like the Point Essentials are the only ones that have done it, but making a compilation type of collection like that for the podcast, start bringing that idea back and being able to have something, a physical product the CD.
There's not an unoriginal about that. That's a good idea.
Sure, but I mean that's what inspired it, and I was just, but I would love to have these CDs and put out one every 6 months or whatever it might be. Hopefully, I can make it that point. But getting to showcase 15 different artists on a collection and advertise them and the podcast and St. Louis music. So hopefully I'll be able to pull that off here soon. I got to figure out how to pay for it, but that's with anything, right? So
yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Money's a beer.
Yeah.
So go
check out Reverb Nation. I was listening to a little bit on the way over, actually. Your music video. I was checking out the video too, man. So you
thank you.
That's that was Over It?
Yes, it is.
And it was last year you recorded that? And
yeah, I put it out in August of 2015, mm-hmm. The actual video. The song was recorded, I'm not sure how much before, but that's basically when I dropped it publicly to more people, is in August. So I'm trying to put another video together, but like we were just saying, money's Bia.
And
doing music by yourself is harder than with a whole band of people, I've learned.
Yeah.
Like with ticket selling and with money-wise, everything's harder by yourself, and it's kind of inspiring at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of keeps you going, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to talk to Bruiser Queen. They're a like a garage rock type of
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're really great. They've been doing a lot of great things out of St. Louis. They tour the country they were a four piece to start with, and it kind of got to the point where they were wanting to hit the road, and it just naturally felt right to be a duo, you know, made things a lot simpler. So I think at times, like it being, even by yourself, in like your case, or duo or whatever, like simplifies it at times, but it also, like you said, it is difficult, when you are doing, counting on ticket sales or other things, like, you know, it is when you're the owner, operator, and,
you're everything, it's... Right. It's fun, but it's hard, too. Sure. But I've learned that you can't really trust too many people musically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've laid my heart into a lot of different bands, and then they break up over... When you get older, especially wives and kids, and I understand, but I don't want to be a part of that. I want to... My wife's my music.
Sure.
So I'm going to just go ahead and keep my wife, and I'm going to do this myself.
Yeah. My buddy Tyler actually wrote that's the chorus of the song is "Music is my wife." And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like a blues kind of got a little Latin flavor to it and stuff. But it's a great song.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
But yeah, it's called "Music is my wife." So yeah, he's got the similar message.
Yeah, that's how some people, and if I find people that relate to that, then playing music with them is not as hard to think about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to just be with people that are into it for little girls pulling on them. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of bands are.
Yeah. What, you've been in various bands, you said? Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and then it just, like I said, just felt better, more of a proper fit being...
Well, yeah, I was in a band, the Dream Scene, one time, and we were just blowing up, playing shows with Academy Is and Plain White Tees and all this big stuff, and then we broke up. It's like, what now what? Why did I just do all that? Why did I put my heart and all my good lyrics and everything into this band that's now I can't even sing those awesome songs?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well... Was in a couple other bands, that was fun, but then I was finally like, I can't do this, I need to do it by myself, I can't just keep wasting my time and energy on ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So,
what got you wanting to play music? Was there?
I don't know. I was playing drums when I was, I think it was 7 or 8 is when I first started playing drums. I tried to do like the whole sports thing at one point.
Yeah.
Soccer and like t-ball and all that, but I never scored, and I was tired of running around a field.
Right.
And I was started playing drums, and I don't know, that's basically. And then somebody was like, my friend's mom heard me singing to Deftones a long time ago, like way long time ago, and she told my mom, she's like, he sounds good. And so I was like just big headed, so I'm like, yeah, I sound good. Started singing more. And then one of my friends is like, you should come sing with me and a guitar player. I go over, there's a whole room of people sitting there. And I was like, I've never sang in front of, so I was like a chicken at that point and started singing, and people were actually into it, so yeah. I've never shut up.
Yeah, that's, I think, I'm glad you did that, because there's, I feel like... a lot of these people, I mean, we've kind of got to where now with YouTube and mm-hmm. stuff where people, a lot of people are being discovered from their bedrooms because they're too scared to step out on that stage and,
right.
and present themselves in front of people because of stage fright or various reasons, anxiety and things. And, yeah, I mean, you know, like it takes a lot of courage to, get up there and sing, and then, even, you know, like yourself now, you're saying you're writing all these songs, you're putting all this, these heartfelt lyrics on paper and singing out there to people, and it's very, very vulnerable to, you know, to do that, and, you know, so it's, I applaud you to taking that step, man, making it happen.
Thank you. I mean, I got haters about it, but I got a lot of supporters, too, and that's all I really needed.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I use the quote from time to time, but it really means a lot to me. I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, mm-hmm. and I've talked about him a lot on the show. But there's a line in the movie Private Part.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
there's so funny.
There's a line he says when they're talking about numbers and stuff, Stern fans and things, and mm-hmm. and he says that. Like, the average Stern listener listens 4 hours a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, what about the people that hate him? He's like, the average Stern hater listens 5 hours a day
right.
or something like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
And they all say, well, we want to hear what he's going to say next. And
right.
And that's a lot of, like, you know, you got to be doing something right for people even to notice, you know, like if they're, you know, if you're just putting it out there and nobody's responding at all.
That's really, well, that, you suck when that happens.
Yeah.
If somebody's hating on you, at least they notice you, so,
right.
so you did something right.
Yeah, sure, that's not, yeah.
Even
yeah.
for the hate, so I know what you're saying on that. Right. That movie's hilarious, by the way, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I still will watch that and just laugh my ass off.
Sure. You watch a lot of comedies and stuff? Movies?
Yeah, that's my favorite type of movie.
For sure.
80s comedies and stuff, though, like John Hughes comedies
okay.
are my favorite.
Yeah.
And then, like, really ridiculous, like Blank Check and stuff like that.
All
really
right.
ridiculous, like Walt Disney movies.
Yeah.
Or then I'll watch, like, real gangster movies, like Boys in the Hood or something
oh,
that
all
same
right.
day. So.
Yeah. Yeah. man, that Boys in the Hood, that's a good one. I don't know, I'm a pretty big movie buff myself. I have a pretty pretty big collection of DVDs and movie posters of the house and things, and but yeah, I went to see The Hateful Eight a while back, you know, around Christmas. That was mm-hmm. And that was I don't know, it was just a lot of fun. It was a great movie. But yeah, have you guys checked that one out yet?
No, I haven't. I don't go to the movies either too
yeah.
much. I like to buy them and have them in my room and
yeah.
do what I do to the movies. And but then I went to the movie theater not too long ago and seen the Batman and Superman movie.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
people hate on it a lot. And I was going to hate it too until like the last 40 minutes probably. It started like making sense, and now I'm just waiting. There's going to be a Justice League movie. Like, you could tell just the way they built it up and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think there's like something, I don't know, I saw it online, but it was like, they have it mapped out like the next 10 years or whatever of movies. So like, you can look as right at the, they're going to be, there's going to be like the, for Marvel, there's going to be the Civil War movie coming out. The trailer just was out for a while back, and you know, just so like they, you can see all these, and then the different characters that are actually getting their own origin story movies and things. So
see, this Superman movie thing is getting a little out of hand, though.
Yeah,
I don't know about all that. It's getting a little weird. It's like, seems like every movie that comes out is some like unscary, scary movie or like a comic book type movie.
Yeah, yeah. The comic book movies are just huge right now. They've been selling like crazy, and so everybody trying to make every comic book into a movie now. So
if I'm gonna watch any style like that, I want to watch the Mario Brothers movie back in the day. You know, I've got that. So that's as close as like movie theaters as I want to get.
Right. Yeah. So what? Do you have a favorite concert moment? Do you go to a lot of concerts at all, or?
I do. Not as much anymore. I mean, I used to when I was younger and stuff. Now I go when I play shows and I don't know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
A favorite moment of playing a show, I don't really know. They were all, every show I've ever played has like got their own moment to it.
Sure.
Good or bad, and it's always something that I like carry out of the show with me.
Yeah.
As for seeing a show, I got to see Blink-182, Alkaline Trio, Newfound Glory, and Mest.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And that's like right when I was like into those bands, like more hardcore than anything.
Yeah.
And so that was like probably one of the best shows I've ever been to.
Sure. Yeah, I remember seeing Blink-182. I forget what the show was. But I don't know if it was like they were headlining or I don't know. I forget the details of it, but I do recall seeing them, and I remember laughing really hard because, you know, those guys are just crazy on stage.
Yeah.
But they said something, I think it was Tom, and they started doing, like, this, like, devil voice. Oh, and he's like, said something like, I don't know, but just, like, saying, like, I don't know, I forget. It was probably not appropriate anyway. Most Blink-182s do. Blink-182 stuff is there's a bunch of silly things in there.
Yeah, I was always a big Newfound Glory fan. Blink-182 was funny, and they have some good songs, but I'm not like a big fan of them.
Sure.
I don't know. They're okay.
Yeah. you're talking about singing the Deftones and things, but was there ever a moment where you saw one of those guys, you know, like on stage, and you're like, "That's, I want to do that." Or
yeah, they kind of influenced that. Chino Marino from that band. I wanted to get a tattoo of him on my arm at one point, which my mom refused for me to get. And I'm really happy too. So I looked down. I had Chino on my arm. I'd feel like kind of ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
But he always was a big influence on me musically, so I think he kind of pushed me towards singing when I was a drummer. So
I saw Deftones, Mastodon, and Alice in Chains one night at when they toured together over at Scott Trade or whatever the arena, and it was really cool, man. I've seen Alice in Chains a few times with William Duvall as singing. I would have been really cool to see with Lane Staley. I'm a huge Alice in Chains fan, but William Duvall is he's a great replacement for him because But yeah, you're talking about your tattoos, man. You got you got some quite a bit of ink on your arms here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any stories to go along with those?
Well, I got the Wizard of Oz over here.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite movie. Yeah. So I'm just trying to get this whole sleeve tattooed. And over here, it's just all free stuff. My boy was apprenticing, and he just got into the habit, and he's like, now I'll just finish your sleeve. Mm-hmm. He's all permanent on somewhere.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite tattoo.
Yeah.
Success over sadness, it says. And that's right. My boys are in a rap group. Swag on Stupid is what they were called.
Okay.
My boy Rallo and Cozy and Stevie Wayne. Marlon, yeah. What's up to them?
Shout out.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are my people that do rap music and stuff, and they're good dudes, too. So, yeah.
All right. What is it about Wizard of Oz? Is it just, it's an iconic film, but why is that, you think, your favorite?
I don't know. That's what I grew up watching. Yeah. I have no idea why I watched it for so long. And now I'm like, I don't think I can really stop. I don't know. I think it's my mom's fault. So thank you very much to her.
Thanks, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
You ever actually sync up the Pink Floyd with it?
I heard about that, though. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I think I might have tried it one time when I was really high, but I don't really know what happened with that. Yeah. So.
It's online. Somebody put it on YouTube like that, so it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, even if you sync up Dark Side of the Moon with, I think it's, on the first Lion's Roar of the... and then the opening credits of the movie, it's weird how much of it syncs up, bells going off and things, the different sounds, for the clocks and stuff, it's just weird.
People got a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
I've been, watching, little YouTube stuff, and I watched Bert and Ernie singing Warren G and Nate Dogg Regulators the other day.
Regulators.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all strolling around weird. And then I watched Miss Doubtfire as a horror movie.
Sure. Oh, yeah, those are great.
And Forrest Gump or something like that. Yeah. Was a horror movie.
Did you see Dumb and Dumber as a drama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that made me laugh so hard.
How do people think of this and actually take the time? Maybe it's a college project or something, I hope.
Yeah, the thing is, for a lot of those, it's a lot of the, for the movie trailer purposes, it's a lot of the music, So if all they do is, flip the tone of the music and then, they show these scenes, if you show a scene in a particular, so in Dumb and Dumber as the drama... There already was a huge moment where the scene they used, and there was the when Jim Carrey's having that breakdown and stuff, and he says more importantly, I'm sick and tired of having nobody.
And it goes like sad, yeah.
Right.
That's how they did the Miss Doubtfire. He'd pop up and. They're my damn kids, too. Just have, this real scary music.
Right.
So, yeah, that was... People have a lot of time on their hands, but I'm glad because it's pretty funny.
Sure. I miss Doubtfire. That's one... I don't know how they couldn't tell that with Robin Williams. That wasn't... They couldn't... They had no idea the whole movie that was their dad. And dress in a wig.
Right. I think I would know my dad. I'd be like, Dad, why are you dressed up like an old lady?
Right.
And I'd call 911 on him, maybe. I might snitch on my dad if he's in there like a woman.
Right.
And, it's like Superman. How can they tell? How can they not tell that it's him? He puts glasses on. It's it's Clark Kent. And he takes the glasses off, and it's Superman. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's... cool. Maybe I should rip my glasses off and people won't recognize me.
Oh, I know I wouldn't.
So it should be cool. Weird.
Yeah. So we got, come out on April 22nd to Cicero's and the Del Mar Loop. And especially if you like Owl City, you can hear a bunch of Owl City songs.
Yeah, I might sneak an original in there. I haven't told Aaron yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and snitch on here.
Right.
That I might throw an original in there because I don't really, I got to represent for myself too.
Yeah. And then, Floorfest 2016 over at the VFW in Afton, Missouri, and that's what day we say that was?
It should be on a Saturday.
May 7th. And $13 to get you in to see Tear Out the Heart. This Is Our Dance. The former me, Inimical Drive, Mon Streets, Manhattan, and
Make Room and Strike Back.
I saw Make Room for the first time at that Story of the Year show.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, man, they're a lot of fun. Those guys are really great. I'm excited to see what they got. You know, I know they got an EP coming out, they really surprised me. I didn't know anything about them. I had never seen them yet.
I haven't seen them yet either. I want to hear all these bands. A lot of them I haven't heard except like Former Me's My Boys and Tear Out the Heart and.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands I haven't checked out yet that I want to.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of how this show works, man. I'll see something like that, and I'll go to one of those shows, and I'll end up meeting somebody new, and, you know, I'm always out recruiting more talent for the show.
I just love shows where it's all different styles of music. It seems like back when I was in the band, the Dream Scene, and all that stuff, there was a lot of better mix of shows, like better mix of bands, and it seems like nowadays it seems a pop punk show is a pop punk show and a hardcore show is a hardcore show, and this Floor Fest seems like it's gonna switch it up.
Yeah, a little variety in there. Yeah. That's how I've only booked two shows so far, but that's a lot of how I look at my shows. I try to bring a lot of variety in.
It's more fun like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good music. It might not be, typically your taste, but give it a chance. You might find your new favorite band. You know, you never know.
Right. I mean, I just played a fest with I Set My Friends on Fire, which is this band, and Time and Distance, and there was a big mix of styles, bands with like old men screaming like gore. And then there was, like, just all different styles, and that's how it needed to be. That's how people need to look at music, is no borders on anything. I don't border my music. I listen to a lot of rap music, which is St. Louis rap, and then I listen to a lot of pop punk. I'll even listen to country if it's Rascal Flatts. Okay. So I don't put borders up. People need to just listen to the realness and the everything about it.
I totally agree. That's especially if you like variety, check out some of the past episodes, man. It's all local for the most part, it's all over the place, man. There's country, rap, rock, and everybody in between represented on the show, so there's plenty of free entertainment to go learn, meet some new people around town. You have a official Facebook page, right? This Is Our Dance.
Yes, I do.
And you got any other, besides Reverb Nation, any other places?
I know I got, like, pages from back in the day and stuff. A MySpace page.
Yeah. they're still there, but it's a mess trying to navigate on that site, but
I miss MySpace. It was so, like, you could meet people so much easier. Like, my band, This Is Our Dance page on there had, like, 500,000 hits, And wow. On this page, I've got 2,000 something, like 2,600 fans or something. Yeah. And that's like, wow, what did I do wrong?
Right.
Where did I go wrong? So it's like, yeah, I don't know.
That MySpace was cool, like that, you know, you could go to the page and they had the songs right there and you could just listen to them. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's a little bit of that, like with Facebook band pages where like it's synchronized with your Bandcamp pages, or
right.
You can do that kind of stuff. There's plugins, but or a link right to your Reverb Nations and things like that. So, it was nice to have those like right, very easy to click play on the songs and things. And
some people don't want to go and click on other pages, and
right.
You could go into random people that you didn't know and be like, "Hey, what's up? Check this out." Now there's like locks on people, and you can only send a certain amount of messages out, and there's too many borders on Facebook, but yeah. I like it better than Twitter. So
yeah, Twitter's confusing. I don't
tweet.
Yeah,
I'm not a tweeter. I don't.
I have an account for the show, but mostly just to plug the episodes and things. And but it is really a crazy powerful tool though, like to where you can. Tweet at celebrities or whatever, and they can actually write you back. Like,
yeah,
I was thinking about that the other day about how, like, I remember, like elementary school, like having a book of like, Michael Jordan or whatever, and these athletes, and there would be like, list in there of like their fan clubs and stuff. And bands had the same thing, but you actually had to write them a physical letter to their band, to their fan club, and say, "Hey, I'm a big fan," or whatever and like occasionally they'd send you like a headshot or whatever or something.
So that was like their manager.
But I mean, that was like as close as we got to like interaction with somebody that we really liked. You actually had to write a letter to their fan clubs and stuff. And now you can do it instantaneously through Twitter. You can just say, "Hey, I like this movie," or "I like this song," and then they're like, "Hey, thank you," and they get or whatever. It's like,
yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's insane. That granted, hopefully most of these celebrities actually run their own things, but I'm sure a lot of them have managers or a PR person, somebody handling it too.
Some of them like to get that kind of attention though, so it's not. Not all of them. I think some of them probably are really on there, but who knows?
Yeah. But no, it is crazy that I was thinking about that just the other day, too. I was sitting in my kitchen, and I was working on editing the show, and I was on, Wi-Fi. And
mm-hmm.
So it's just crazy that there's no wires plugged in to the computer, and it goes from my kitchen to the internet to your ears. Everybody can listen to all these all over the world, and it's just like,
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's crazy to think about that. How fast all it is, the internet is a wild place, man.
Well, yeah, that's probably the most exciting thing is when somebody from another country says they like your music.
Yeah.
I've been invited to Brazil and all this stuff. Places. I'm like, Brazil? Like, where is Brazil at? Yeah. Like, I'm saying? Like, I gotta look at the globe to see what side of the earth it... I was real bad at social studies. I think I was asleep or something. But
that's a good possibility for me, too.
I tried to stay awake.
Yeah.
But it's... didn't work. I didn't drink coffee, and that was kind of a downer, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just the places in different places like your music is
sure
powerful, and that's what keeps a lot of people going, and it keeps me going at least.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, so get on Reverb Nation, check out some songs, check out the video on YouTube over it, and you can subscribe to This Is Our Dance channel on there too, and you You said you might be working on a new video for this year?
Yeah, definitely should be. And I'm not sure what song it's going to be because, like I said, I'm working on some new songs.
Yeah.
But on that page, I have some old videos from when This Is Our Dance first started. We're covering, like, Tim McGraw, Just to See You Smile and weird stuff like that. Okay. So if people really want to laugh, they can go see the beginning and wait for more.
What? Where does the name come from? Why This Is Our Dance?
I was in a band, Parkside, and me and my friend Josh were, like, about to start this, and I'm not really positive how it came about. I know that it's a Elvis song,
and
I like Elvis a lot.
Sure, man.
That's all I remember is it's Elvis song, and me and my boy Josh were messing around about it, and it stuck. I don't know.
I get occasionally, you know, with the last name Presley, like, I'll get people like, oh, you kind of look like Elvis, and I'm like, get out of here, like, you know, like, just because I have dark hair and sideburns doesn't mean I...
Well, yeah. I would be wearing a name tag at my old... I worked at Schnucks before, and I'd wear a name tag, and my name's David. I call myself Davey because I like it better. David's, like, my real name, so I'd wear it on my name tag, and old ladies would always walk up to me and be, you know your name's biblical? And give me, like, this little pamphlet about, like, Jesus and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, like, it didn't bother me. I wasn't upset. But it's like, wow, lady, like, you don't even know who I am.
Right.
Like, they walk up to you and you look like Elvis.
Yeah.
You look biblical. It's like, lady, go home.
Yeah.
So some people are just kind of weird. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
There's definitely a lot of weird people out there.
Yeah, I try not to judge, but sure. Goddamn, it's hard.
Yeah, man. We can put a song on or two or whatever you want to do. Up to you, man. What would you like to do?
Pop the song on.
Yeah. What song would you like to play?
How about Beyond the Horizon?
Okay.
Because that's one of my most, like, personal songs, so I'd like people to hear it.
Sure. Do you care to share any stories about it or anything, how it came together and stuff?
It didn't really start it's about cancer. My dad had it, and I was just thinking about people, you know, that would be losing family members, girlfriends and wives, and like I said, it's about losing someone and meeting them again. In the afterlife. So.
And that's also, is that on your Reverb Nation page?
Yes, it is.
So if you like it, go check out Reverb Nation and get a free download.
Sure, you definitely should.
Yeah, and be sure to let Davey know what you think of it, man. Get on Facebook, This Is Our Dance, and let him know.
For sure.
Or you can come tell him in person. April 22nd at Cicero's, or May 7th at the VFW in Afton, Missouri, for Floor Fest.
If anybody wants tickets to that, they can hit me up on the band page or come to my personal page, Davey Vaughn, and we can just meet each other and be friends, too, because I love everybody at first until somebody does something messed up, and then... But at first, I love everybody.
Yeah, that's all it takes, man.
Yeah, that's
everybody
how...
Everybody love everybody.
Yeah, that's how you have to start, and then you can go from there.
Sure, man. All right, buddy, well, this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad you reached out and we made this happen,
I'm definitely excited about me. A little nervous at first.
Oh, yeah.
Just because...
Have you done this?
The second interview I've done. I was on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay.
Why I was on the sports radio, I don't know. They had me on there promoting my band and my new video and stuff, which was cool but confusing. And, yeah, so this is a lot more laid back and chill. So I appreciate you having me on.
No, I'm glad, man. But yeah, I've done a lot of these where it's their very first interview or something like that, and that's exciting for me to be that guy that could kind of help showcase them to a new audience and stuff.
For sure.
So I'm happy to help. I'm thanks for having me over, and I'm glad we got to meet each other and talk a little more and stuff, and get to know each other. So
for sure.
Yeah. But I'm gonna try to come out party at Cicero's and hear some Owl City tunes and sing along to Fireflies with you.
I'll sneak a personal song. Yeah. I'm not gonna just do Fireflies all night. I am going to do that Good Times song, which is going to be, oh my God, I've never even really listened to it until now, so.
Okay.
We're having a good time. So, all right. Whoops. Okay, well.
All right, man. Well,
thank you for having me on here. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, no, hey, man, anytime. This is it's been a lot of fun. And maybe when the acoustic album or something comes up, maybe give me a call, maybe we can do another one or something. So
definitely, I'll be down for that.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.